It is just way too simplistic. And when you couple that with bad AI, it makes for a bad experience.
It had
there
charm.
Was not good rubber band Newtonian physics here.
Okay. Every game.
Welcome to New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I stay hydrated.
And you are listening to and or watching Retro Recap number 10.
10?
That's a big one.
That's a lot of retro recaps.
10 episodes.
That's 200-ish. That's one every 26.3 episodes.
There's no way he's sure. Right, but
there's no way
that is decent ish math. Every 20 ish episodes we attempt to record an episode such 0.1. As this. If this is your very first retro recap, well, do not fear, because Kenny is here.
It's true, I'm around. A retro recap, if you don't know, is our chance to just kind of mix things up for a week. And instead of being retrospective about a specific game, we're retrospective about our podcast. This is our chance for us to go back and look at the latest set of episodes that we've put out and just sort of reflect on them. Do we think we got it right? Do we think we got it wrong? Have our opinions changed? Little scroll down memory lane for all the games we've played recently.
And like we said, we typically do this every 20 or so. For the longest time, we did not. It was more like 25 or 30 or 35 episodes.
If you average it out, it's slightly over 26. We're not very good at hitting that 20 mark.
Except last time, I believe, did exactly 20. And this time, we very intentionally did 22, two more than normal, simply because of the way that the calendar lined up. So we should be very proud of ourselves. That's a full year of consistency on two things that we have to do.
We are on top of it.
What about elements?
You know what? Moving right along. So we've got 22 different video games, retro video games to talk about in this episode. It's probably going to be a lengthier episode than our standard episode. But if you're looking for our regular week-to-week episode, then just wait 6 days. 7 days is a week. And then you can listen to the next one that's right around the corner. But I want to start by giving some statistics over these last 22 episodes. Are you guys ready to hear some of these?
Yeah, I always love this part.
I'm ready. I got my snack and my water.
Are they one and the same?
He's hydrated.
All right. So out of the 22 episodes, 13 of them received New Game Plus status. 9 did not.
Wow. We were generous.
We're generous, but we've always got to remember that Patreon pools and producer pools, at this point, we're going to have better, you know, stuff coming in.
We also agreed a lot, I feel like.
Agreed? We did.
I was looking at the list and like, we had
sometimes we're way more divisive than we were. Maybe we're just merging into one podcast person.
It's one super host.
Everything is a simulation. Yeah, that's some of Kenny's theories on these last 22 episodes. The oldest game that we played in these last 22 was with a guest. It was in 1982, not when we played it, but when the game was first released. What is that title?
Joust.
Yeah, Joust. Got Congratulations. Him. You win $10,000.
I was going to say Animal Crossing. It was the first game that we played with a guest that came to my mind.
The newest or most recent episode, or video game, excuse me, came out in 2004. We had two that came out in 2004. Can you tell me the one that came out in November of 2004?
No, definitely not. It's a GBA title for sure, though.
It is, actually.
Wind Waker?
Oh, good guess. That was 2002.
Yeah.
It is Master Shaman King, Master of Spirits.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Nolan is on top of the game.
I forgot the title. I remember the subtitle of that game.
Now, the longest episode was not a guest episode.
That seems like a first, maybe.
I feel like I remember this. There was one episode we just talked for so long and everybody had an opinion. I don't remember what it was.
Well, this was one I guess we just couldn't shut up about, and it was a game called The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
I was at your house. That's
1 hour and 9 minutes.
Okay. Well, I'm glad it was that long. And I was at your house for that one, so I'm sure that had something to do with it because we were just excited and lost track of time.
Probably. Conversely, on the other side, the shortest episode was a piece of trash, Arrow the Acrobat, that we... Listen, we talked less about Arrow the Acrobat than Wordtress.
Wow. Well, yes.
Arrow the Acrobat was 47 minutes and 18 seconds.
We wanted Wordtress, to get out of there.
Wordtress has more gaming depth than Arrow the Acrobat.
Those are the running statistics of the games that we played in the last five-ish months. And so now we're going to talk about each of those games briefly and the episodes, talking about the memories that we have, good or bad, what's our retrospective on each of these games.
Sonic Heroes is one of the worst Sonic games.
Oh.
And the first in this list. It's a GameCube title that it came out on PS2. I don't remember that part of the episode. But Sonic's usually on Nintendo consoles nowadays.
But it didn't just come out on PlayStation 2. It came out on PlayStation 2, on GameCube, and on Xbox.
I believe. GameCube.
Did you? I believe that it was the first Sonic game to go on a non-Nintendo hardware.
Maybe. Seems like it. Yeah, I don't know many others that are on PlayStation. That's weird. But anyways, this game was not my favorite. This was one where it broke up the speed of Sonic to make room for team gameplay, and it was more about like combat mechanics. Hated it. I'm a purist when it comes to this hedgehog guy. I was not having it.
If people aren't remembering it, this was the one you were in little squads of three and could like cycle which character you were to get different abilities, and then those were in different sort of sets of characters.
And it was the largest playable cast in any Sonic game to that point of when that released in 2003. So you had the three, Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles, and they were a squad. And then you had the robot.
And like a dark squad.
But you could play Dr. Shadow, Robotnik something. In one of them. Is right?
Yeah. No.
No, I'm getting confused because we played two Sonic games, and in one of them you could play as Dr. Robotnik and others in his squad. That's the one with the little Digimon island, the Pokemon island that you take him to. But in this one, is this one the one where you have the three different squads and they play differently from one another? Like one of them?
Okay, one of them you had to like solve clues or do puzzles instead of, or it was collecting items. Ugh.
Got you. I just remember that it was the slowest Sonic I've ever played. And when you're playing Sonic, you've got to go fast. And if you're not going fast, you're doing something very wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because of that, none of us liked this episode, game. It was three no's on New Game Plus.
It was not only because of that, it was the voice acting as well. Do you remember Tails' voice actor? They had a real 8-year-old kid do it, and it was garbage.
Wait, that's confirmed, or you made a joke about that being?
No, that's confirmed.
Yeah, I'm not surprised because that's what it sounds like. They tried. This was around the time they were trying to build out Sonic as a universe. They had like a show. I never was into it. It was weird. Just no.
Don't play that one. But we then had Kiana Mosser join us as our first guest of this set. She is a pixel artist, a designer, a coder, and she joined us to talk about the game Joust for the arcade.
Which, even though it's a big classic, I never played, and I didn't realize you ran around on birds. That's kind of nonsense.
Yeah, I kind of goofed and admitted that I'd never even like heard of this game on, I think, because this is like a classic arcade game. It's a huge title. It's old.
Capital C.
Like, yeah, capital
this is a big big title. It has shown up in many different medium, book or movie. It was a centerpiece in Ready Player One. You're a knight on an ostrich and you are trying to joust other knights off their ostrich. And I was able to play it in the arcade that week, which was a lot of fun. And the thing that Kiana pointed out was that it has accurate Newtonian physics, which...
Right. I always look for that in my games.
That's why we didn't like Sonic Heroes.
Right. Yeah, no, Kiana knew so much about this game, and we were all just like, we need that. So she kind of showed us up. I think I did the first play.
You did, and it was not pretty.
It wasn't good.
The week after that, we went to one of my nostalgic staples, the arcade and Nintendo 64 classic, Cruisin' World.
USA.
Not USA. That's a different game.
Game, right?
Yeah, it's the same like universe, like Cruisin', but USA is a game and World is a game. Cruisin'. We played World. And I, of course, had an absolute fun time, do all the tricks, get all the points, win all the things. Dustin had no respect for this game for some reason, though it's fun, it's classic arcade-y. I know when you're playing at home, it's not the same as sitting down and playing this type of game on a big screen in a chair, but the Nintendo 64 got you as close as you could get in 1996, and you missed it.
You cannot say that I had no respect for the game, because I did. It was a fun game when I used to play it in the arcade growing up. But when I'm sitting at home in 2020 playing it on the Nintendo 64 on my computer by myself, it takes away all of the fun. We talked about that that I loved sitting down in a cabinet. What are you about to say to me?
Let me look at my digital thesaurus real quick, because if you look at New Game Plus... it's synonyms, respect. You didn't give it New Game Plus
respect.
Status.
I kind of liked it. I thought that, so racing games are whatever, but I think they're a little more than whatever, and I'm like a closeted...
Racer.
Car.
Racer guy. Game. Just to be clear, racer. Car guy. He's racer.
E-R. No, I thought it was actually pretty solid for a racing game, and I usually judge those really hard, so that's saying something.
And you're wrong, and y'all both are, because no, you're wrong. It's one that could work for the arcade, but it doesn't work at home. It is just way too simplistic, and when you couple that with bad AI, it makes for a bad experience.
It had
charm. There was not good rubber band Newtonian physics here.
Okay.
Where,
every game.
You could do the best of the best and still come in last, or you could do the worst of the worst and still come in first. It didn't matter. The shortcuts didn't matter. And all you had was drive and boost, you know? And the boost didn't really even make you go faster. It just
the
helped
boost
you.
Makes you go way faster.
I think Dustin came in last.
Helps you reaccelerate. It's so good. When you hit a sunflower and it immediately stops your entire car, it's a little ridiculous.
Yes.
But, like, it's a lighthearted racer. This is not trying to be Forza. Like, it's just fun and silly, and it does that well.
Well, as mentioned, I was the only one that said no, meaning it still got New Game Plus status.
Up next, we played a game called Okage Shadow King.
Shadow King.
It's this, like... JRPG? There's a J.
Yeah.
Is it a J? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a J. And it's very, very quirky to a fault. But it's funny. It's like one of those, I don't know, RPGs that are very self-aware, and it's so ludicrous that you just kind of are like, okay, and you're on the trip, and it was a unique week for sure. I think our community really had fun with this one. I don't know if fun's
different,
the word.
Different flavor of humor, but almost kind of earthbound-ish. Where like,
yeah, for sure,
just funny, but in kind of tongue-in-cheek sort of ways.
And Nightmare Before Christmas,
definitely
ish,
like art style and yeah.
I I remember, here's what I liked. I liked the aesthetic, as weird as it is, and I really liked the humor. I didn't like the gameplay. I think that was so contentious there is because the stand, the Shadow King or whatever that's behind you at all times.
He has a normal name.
And even the whole setup, like Kenny's first play, all he does is go get bread for dinner. But then shortly after that, the entire family sells their souls to the devil because their daughter's speaking pig Latin. Like, that's the setup for this game.
It's insane.
It's just, then the gameplay mechanics after that of the battle system was just, it was done extremely poorly. And so I remember there being that kind of tension. But despite that, I think we all still enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was super weird and I think made us all smile and laugh, and that's the big thing. If a game can make you enjoy it in the way that it wants to be enjoyed, you know it's doing something right.
Yeah. It was the game where we said, hey, you know what? Might not be the best game in the world, but play it because it's unique. And then we played WCW Mayhem. And that's coming from three guys that are true wrestling fans.
I'm Stone Cold Undertaker all day.
I think we all played it on the Nintendo 64 this week, although it came out on a few different systems.
Yeah, it was PlayStation 2.
I also remember doing some research. Listen, we want to bring you the best reporting when we come to you weekly, and so I watched an entire wrestling match from WCW back in the, I don't know, early to mid-90s, and was thoroughly educated because that's a trip. That's a trip.
I mean, you probably had more fun than the game.
It is entertainment that some people like. Although,
What a non-offensive statement. Yeah. It is entertainment that some people will like. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
The weather outside is a thing.
I did the first play, and that I will recommend you go watch that right now. It's actually...
Really?
Yeah. It's funny because I couldn't figure out how to pin the opponent. I just kept...
Well,
There's
no in-game instructions, and the matches are set for a literal 30 minutes, which is bad.
Real-time 30 minutes. Way, way, way too long. Learning the mechanics is way too difficult. It was kind of fun that you could take your wrestling match like out of the ring and go
and
like backstage and like back into the bathroom and have your match in there. And they did some things like that that made it try to be... you know, like fun wrestling novel. But I think the difficulties in the gameplay itself just being ridiculous and none of us really being wrestling guys were just too big a hurdles. I mean, you didn't like this game.
No.
Well, I would have thought Kenny would have liked it because my custom character was named Kenny the Crippler. And he had I think it was a nipple ring attached to his belly button ring with a chain in between. It was
super
something
accurate.
Like that. Super
accurate.
Why would
you ever do that as a wrestler? Like, you also, it would get ripped out immediately.
Why would you ever do that? Just, you can end the sentence there.
After our wrestling adventures, we went back to the Sonic universe. This time on a guest episode featuring the 8-bit drummer, who was such a crazy fun guest to have. We absolutely... adored having him come out and talk about one of his favorite games, which was Sonic Adventure 2 Battle. Obviously, we spent a lot of time talking about the music of this one, since that's 8-bit drummer's shtick is game music.
Drum shtick.
And yeah, and that was a lot of fun. But beyond that, we enjoyed going through the game itself too, because it wasn't Sonic Heroes.
Right.
That's true.
Instead, it was a 2001 GameCube pet simulator where you go into a garden and you take care of these chaoses, these little pets. You raise them to health. This is where you could be Dr. Eggman a few others.
I thought it was a Tony Hawk knockoff because you could grind all the way down a rail in this game.
That is true. Dude, the graphics on this were good.
Are y'all making fun of this game?
No, this is the one where you also have a squad of three, but each of them do different things. So Sonic stages stay fast. They're the speed stages. Then you've got Knuckles, which are the exploration type stages, which a lot of people didn't like. I actually thought they were fine.
I like
them. And then you had Tails, which was in a mech, and it was like shooter. And then that worked for the other squads that you could play as well, because you could be Shadow. Is that the Hedgehog?
Shadow the Hedgehog, yes.
Shadow, and then what? I don't remember the other two that was with him.
The Vampire Girl.
You had a big cast here as well, but this game did Sonic in a 3D environment right.
Yeah, probably the best it's seen in 3D, probably. A lot of people think that. And I think it was interesting playing this one so close to Sonic Heroes, so you could really see why people think it's the best, because it's clear. It's a little more true to traditional Sonic, but in a 3D setting, and they just made the right choices.
It's absolutely
a great
game. Our main complaint about the other one was it's Sonic, but it's slow. This one is everything good about Sonic. It's fast, it's frantic, it's all over the place. It's map interactivity with tons of stuff going on, and you got to really like explore and go, 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 and just much better Sonic title.
The next game is called Marvel Super Heroes in War of the Gems. And this game is about Thanos taking the Infinity Gauntlet, and then he snaps and all the main characters vanish. And then... What other spoilers? I've never
seen. No, will you quit giving all the spoilers?
I think Iron Man is in it. No, this is like
this is that story. It is the whole...
Oh, is it?
I was trolling. War of the Gems is absolutely about the gems.
Okay.
I mean, well, the movies were based off of this video game. But this is the one where you could select one, or you could select different... They weren't called Avengers, but different of these heroes, right? You had Wolverine, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Captain America, and the Hulk. Wow, I just went through all five of them. And they played... Some of them played the same as one another, but you could select which character you were playing and which stage you were going to and which gym you were going to use on your character. The idea there is kind of cool.
Yeah, this is one of those I loved the concept of and wanted to like, but then... The implementation of it ended up just being so static and like, oh, I had a terrible, terrible time on the first play here. I played like the slowest character on the slowest level and just absolutely hated everything about it.
Well, they move so slow and they tried
the speed stone.
They also take up 90% of the screen. They were big.
That's why. Because the ratio of your character to the environment was so ludicrous. Like, they wanted you to see the detail, and they looked great. The characters looked like their characters, but oh my goodness, the pacing was terrible. It was so incredibly slow, and like, I don't even like superheroes.
Repetitious enemies, repetitious gameplay. Yeah, this one was definitely good concept, totally missed execution.
This is a Capcom game, though, which typically Capcom does really well. We have had Capcom games that we haven't given our vote for New Game Plus status, and this is one of the few. We all three said, hey, the game's just unremarkable. Like, it's, again, kind of cool. Five heroes that you'd want to play. They operate kind of differently. Multiple stages that you can choose from, a la, like, DuckTales.
Customizations, all kinds of neat customizations. Concepts.
Yeah, like, I even remember, and I'll remember this game because, like, I would select the Hulk, but then give him the speed stone so that he wasn't the slowest thing ever, or I would get a weaker character. Like, even Spider-Man and Wolverine and Iron Man, they can get to different areas of the stage that other characters couldn't. So, a cool premise, but it just didn't work itself out in practicality, and so we all just said no. And then we moved on to a game that we had been waiting for since the beginning of our podcast. This was one of our first producer pools, which is a much smaller pool of games. If you would like to be a producer or a patron, you can go to patreon.com/NGP podcast. But from that very small list, we finally pulled The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, the 1998 Nintendo 64 game, and one of Nolan's favorite video games of all time.
Yes. I said, I was at Dustin's house when we recorded this, and mm-hmm. It was just really fun getting to watch him play the game for the first time, or beat it for the first time. Because Dustin started a series a long time ago. It's on our YouTube channel. You can
two years ago,
dropped off and then came back to it when we pulled this game. And I was right behind him when he was fighting Ganon, trying to hit him with the hook shot. And I was going to, I didn't say anything, but I wanted to scream. But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so there is a full blind Let's Play series on our YouTube, and you can get that link in our show notes, where I play like the first, I don't remember, I think it was like 28 episodes, like 30 to 45 minute episodes of Ocarina of Time, yeah. Blind.
You got a long way into it.
And then stopped. Then came back 2 years later and finished it. And
you
so
had to think about it for 2 years. You
were I had to process the Fire Temple or whatever I was on at that time and come back. And I was able to finish it out. And so you can find that full Let's Play. But during those final sections of the game, Nolan's sitting in the background watching me. And so, it was a lot of fun to experience that and to record the episode with Nolan in the room that week.
And I didn't let y'all say one bad thing about it.
You got mad anytime we did, because it is an imperfect game, right, Kenny?
It is.
Stop.
It's imperfect.
No, it is perfect.
No, it is not.
I will not get into this because I don't even know. You don't even know what you're talking about. Imperfect.
It is great. And we had talked about Sonic coming from 2D to 3D. This is the way to do it, because this was Zelda's 2D to 3D, and it is done remarkably well.
Yep.
Imperfectly, but remarkable.
Yeah, one of the few things that got us more hyped than pulling Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time was us deciding to celebrate our 5-year anniversary. And we did that in the best possible way you can.
Well,
by letting me take over an episode.
Yeah, you know, that's never going to happen again, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it was a terrible idea, but in the best, juiciest, good idea kind of way.
Don't say juiciest. Hold on, because it wasn't just you taking over the episode. You took over the week, Kenny.
Everything. Like,
over the world.
Everything was in your control, meaning that some of our listeners got pizza delivered to them that week.
So we
gave away a Switch Lite. We
sold Kenny-themed shirts in Kenny, our store.
We did.
Kenny-themed t-shirts, exclusive. So it was an entire experience.
It was a fun, crazy week where we just threw everything out the window and did all kinds of new and different stuff. Super fun. And I got to pick the game. Mm-hmm. So picked an NES favorite of mine, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, The Manhattan Project. And you guys got to play this one together, didn't
Joint
you?
First play.
A little couch co-op, yeah.
So the idea was, I told Kenny I was going to go to Wisconsin. It was a surprise for Dustin's birthday, so we couldn't
tell
Dustin
where I live.
Hey, let's wait until we get there. He couldn't tell him, and so we played it perfectly so that Dustin and I could play couch co-op with this multiplayer NES game, and we beat it.
We beat it and then just went looking for other retro games that we could play co-op together, because that is so much fun.
It's
the best way to play retro games. And I hate that, like, the world of multiplayer today is magic. And the fact that you can play with people all over the world just through your magic box is cool. There will never be something as novel and fulfilling as sitting next to someone in the flesh and playing a game with them, though. And so I love that era. Love that you got to do that for this.
And it was an incredible game to play together, but Kenny picked an incredible game on its own. Like, this is a marvel for being an NES title from 1991. It is an early game in retro gaming history, but you could play as any of the turtles. You could change out and play as another turtle.
Different
play
styles.
Have different play styles and specials. The artwork was just done remarkably. The episode is special because
ton of enemy variety and boss variety as well in there. It would just everything. looks
the episode
good.
Is special, though, because Kenny's in charge, and so a lot of things didn't happen that normally do or did happen that normally don't happen, such as when we got to read a viewer commentary, he only read up into the part that he agreed with, and then he would stop reading their commentary.
Oh, well, yeah, people are wrong, and you shouldn't. We're not in the business of sharing fake news or disinformation. It's a real problem,
I'm
going
to ban you from Twitter, Kenny. The next game is called The Magical Quest starring Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse is a Disney character. And who can do an impression of him on the podcast?
Probably you.
I'm not gonna.
You're better at impressions. I could say Mickey Mouse in a mousetrap.
Okay, I could say that. it's a platforming game. And it's for the SNES. And it's one that we actually disagreed on a lot that week, if I remember correctly. This is one of a couple of... Actually, I found out there were a lot more, but I think they only came out in Japan or something. There are a few Mickey Mouse games on the Genesis and the SNES that actually did quite well, and people really like them. This one is like not the one people usually refer to. However... I did enjoy platforming as Mickey Mouse in this game. It had some unique qualities.
They kept the look right. They did Disney justice.
The outfits,
Mickey looks like Mickey. Yeah. You know, that's not going to be everybody's cup of tea, but solid little Super Nintendo platformer, I thought.
Yeah, for sure. Solid.
This is another one y'all were wrong on.
He's so mad.
It's not, it wasn't good. I did the first play this weekend. I started saying, hey, this is good. It's Capcom again. So
yeah.
The quality is there and the pixel work is there and things are there. But I just thought that first of all, Kenny, you said that the plot was John Wick, which is problematic to begin with.
Why did you say that?
He said the plot was John Wick.
Isn't it like Pluto's missing or something?
Pluto's missing because that big guy stole him, and then the big guy's old
bosses. Somebody messed with his dog, and he's out for revenge.
That's only place that I agreed with you is that the bosses were pretty cool. It was kind of like Cuphead. Do you remember, Nolan?
Yes.
Because
the bird?
All of the bosses, even the, is that the skateboarding one or is that a different
one? No, that's
one?
The grapple one. The skateboarding one's the ice one, but yeah.
Kind of some really cool things. And then your character had different costumes, fireman costume and the other costumes that you could cycle through. But I just thought that those costumes weren't used to their fullest potential, that the pacing was completely off on the stages. Some were so short and easy. Some were so long and easy. Some were so long and hard. None of it made sense. And it wasn't worth playing. And it made me even more frustrated that Nolan, you said that you could see it being someone's favorite video game. I don't understand that.
Sure. It is Capcom succeeding as they usually do. I think the Marvel one was the one-off. This is Capcom quality. It was good.
Yeah. Notice the trend of who dissents and how wrong he is.
Notice the trends.
Y'all are sheeple. I'll just say that.
Nah.
Then we had The Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker, a 2002 GameCube video game with guest MC Moffat, who is the Legend Zelda man himself, that puts on Zeldathon every year. This is something special. You
fell in love with the character.
This is a love story. It was my very first experience with Wind Waker. I had watched other people play it, but had never played it myself. Get this. You're hearing this correctly. In the last 22 episodes, we played both Ocarina of Time and Wind Waker.
Yeah,
that's
was on Cloud
big
Nine.
Deal.
I freaked out.
And so MC Moffat selected Wind Waker as his favorite game. It's the second attempt at 3D? For Zelda?
Yeah.
No, and they went something totally different, which when
Third,
it released,
totally different,
made a lot of fans angry or frustrated, but it worked for me in every aspect.
Whole traveling by boat mechanic is unique. So the art style being that sort of like cell style is a totally different look. And I am convinced that Dustin bought a plushie because he liked the way the character looks so much and cuddles it at night.
It's the third 3D Zelda, but I'll give it to you. It's the second attempt at 3D because Majora's Mask just looks like Ocarina of Time. Probably it's the same engine. So like this was the deviation from like the darker side, the more mature side of Zelda. And this was an interpretation that was just Nintendo being like, let's just try this cartoony, like cell shading looking thing. And it ended up aging better than like any game of all time. It's such a magical game. And I really liked watching Dustin or hear Dustin talk about this version of Link because he's so cute when he does the sidle.
Yeah. He's cute at all times, but yeah, especially when he does the sidle.
The eyeballs. Yeah.
It was great having a guest that was so crazy knowledgeable as well.
Yes.
Great. Moffat did just an amazing job, really shared some cool knowledge with us. We loved having him.
I honestly think, and I thought, and I still think, that Wind Waker is near pinnacle Zelda. I prefer it to Ocarina of Time, and you'll allow me that.
Yeah, sure.
I think Ocarina of Time still wins out in the OST, but I think that's about the only area because the graphic, how Link is in, or the young boy is in Wind Waker, how they utilize his eyes to be the Navi in the thing, the whole ship mechanic.
So creative.
And I didn't even get deep into it. This is one of the few games this time where I was like, I'm going to keep playing after we finish the episode. And I did. And I've still got my walkthrough up on one of my tabs in Chrome, which is probably bad, but I think I'm going to come back to it. Right. Right. We all definitely, I mean, we didn't vote. It was a guest episode, but we all really enjoyed this game this week.
However, we did not enjoy the next game. So much so that I don't even really want to talk about it because we already previewed how much we hated Arrow the Acrobat, and the amount of hate we had was a lot.
What was wrong
with
it?
This game, the soundtrack was so obnoxious and grating. Like, Circus is just a hard theme to do well and not make people go crazy. And then everything else about it was bad too. I played the first play on this and couldn't even get past the first level.
Yeah. Well,
but it's not even your fault.
It's not your fault because it's just, they just vomited
onto
the level. It's not, there's no cohesion. The level design's some of the worst I've ever seen. It goes vertically because, I don't know, trampolines are in the circus tent. So you go up and he's a bat that can't fly. It's just infuriating in almost every way. I cannot tell you to avoid this game enough. It's so bad.
It's one of the worst games we've played on our podcast. And we've played 260 whatever games.
Yeah.
It's bad. And there's very few, if any, redeeming qualities. Circus is already something difficult to do well. And when you do it wrong, it just makes it extra painful. What made it extra painful was to see David Brevik's name on the credits of this game. Do you remember?
It's a fluke.
Our bud, you know, from a few
friend of the show.
Back.
Yeah,
you can, friend of the show
for sure.
Friend of the show.
We Davey helped B. with Diablo 4. We helped create it.
We did.
Yeah.
Even though David didn't.
No.
David's not a part of it.
He hooked us up with Blizzard though, and we told him how to make it.
Arrow the Acrobat is bad all the way around. It was one of the few games where I forced myself to come back to during the week and hated every
our community didn't like it either.
Yeah, it was cold garbage. It wasn't even hot garbage.
Not That's even gonna give it the hot.
Nope.
Cold garbage is worse than hot, huh? The next week we moved on to bigger and better things because we had Kang Gaming join us for an episode, and Kang Gaming chose Ghosts and Goblins. Now this is another capital K classic arcade title, also on the NES. We played the NES version. I think most of us did. And this game's impossible, so much so that Kang didn't really want to revisit it that week. He just chose it and then made us play through the misery.
He didn't revisit it. Halfway through the episode, he's like, yeah, I haven't played it since I was a kid.
And we were like,
come on, man.
Like, you're like, got it.
What are you doing to us?
It's
so hard, dude.
The hardest game that we played?
One of.
Yeah.
There's probably another one up there, but it's one of those games that where you kill an enemy and then like three more spawn and then they come at you fast and you're like, okay, like, and then it's like one hit kill. Well, two hit kill,
I guess. It's terrible.
And still,
you gotta get lucky about weapons. And like, if you can't find that knife that's super strong, you're in trouble. And then certain enemies force you to take other weapons that are bad. Like, it's just punishing, but in weird, hard ways. And yeah, just like, interesting, because it's so well known as like an infamous hard NES game, but even that isn't enough for how difficult this game was.
It's a game that even with save states, I got right towards the end. It was like on the last stage or last bit of the second to last stage, whatever it was. I was near the end and I just decided, you know what? It wasn't worth it. It's not worth it to finish this game. I probably could if I put in enough time and get lucky and whatever, but it's just not worth it. And I guess maybe that's fun for some people, but I just chalk it up to bad coding, bad design from the beginning. You can have hard. We even have NES hard, and then this is a whole nother level of Ghosts and Goblins hard.
Don't
and
you have to beat it twice to beat it?
Oh yeah, when you beat it first time, the credits, I think Kenny reads them out in the episode all with its misspelling, saying pretty much you have to play it again to be able to beat it correctly. Great. Yeah, really good design. We all didn't give it a vote because it was a guess, but you know, it's one that you need to know about, but it's one that you most certainly probably don't need to play. No.
Certainly don't need to beat it.
Katamari Damacy. I think that's right. Is a 2004 PlayStation 2 spectacular that Kenny is a fool to say anything negative about.
I can't believe he didn't give this New Game Plus. I really can't.
It's really disgusting.
It's not a video game. It's an elaborate fidget spinner on your screen. It's like, I don't know. The appeal of something that is mindless and therapeutic and kind of like sort of funny. The humor though is ridiculous and makes no sense and too much. And just the gameplay itself is repetitive. Like once you get it, you get it. And this one is definitely one of the ones where I digress from like the mainstream though, because this is a crazy popular game. If you don't remember, this is the one where you roll up all the stuff and then that ball rolls up into bigger stuff and so on until you've like taken over the universe.
But you're picking up everything, including people and animals. It's hilarious. It is masterful. It's so creative. It's so good.
Yeah. The game is a vibe. Okay. As the kids would say, from
a bad vibe.
From the graphics to the audio to the story, that's insane. You're a little prince. Isn't that what you are? A little prince.
Yeah.
Trying to please your dad, who's like king of all cosmos, and he's just a drunk, alcoholic, abusive father. And you're having to roll up, just literally everything. And it's bit by bit, size by size. You start with small thumbtacks, and you end up with the Loch Ness monster and the largest buildings in the world. It's absolutely great.
I'm glad you guys are into genocide,
bro. Well, it's so good, and like everyone thinks so. It's not one of those things where it's like cool to not think that it's good. You're wrong.
With not being cool.
Kenny said that this game is cheesecake, which I could explain it right now, but I'll let you go listen to the episode where he explains
it. Nice plug.
After Katamari Damacy, I can't even say it right, we played Godzilla, Monster of Monsters. Roar. This is a 1988 title that came out on NES and is a hot mess.
Is a Patreon pool.
Oh, I forgot that this was a Patreon pool. Yeah,
guys.
You play, this isn't really a platformer. It's like a sort of a side scrolling, kind of actiony, kind of beat 'em up nonsense where you can play as Godzilla or as Mothra, and you take on a series of bosses, you go through this weird like grid-based system in space, and hate yourself for choosing to do so.
It might have been worse than Arrow the Acrobat. I don't know. They're contenders. They are very, very bad. This one, I said it was a Patreon pool. One of our users submitted it because it was like Godzilla's 50th birthday or something like that.
Oh.
Which is super fun. Like, I like circling back and shouting out a fun franchise.
Well, we were burned by a Godzilla game early on in the podcast.
That one wasn't that bad.
We were.
Compared to this one, no, it wasn't. But it wasn't
as bad as this. So, you're right. It wasn't great.
The only redeeming quality in this game is that you get to play as Baythra.
Baythra? Did I say that?
No, I don't know. I said it just now. Mothra.
Mothra.
It just sounds like something else.
Is she your bae?
Yes. Yeah. I spent the whole episode talking about how beautiful she is.
You don't go look up Mothra fan art?
She's a strong, independent, independent woman. And you've got to respect the grind. She knows what she's doing on that. This is also the game where I believe that the programmers, the developers said, you know where, we've got this whole controller. You know what would be a good place to put their special ability? On the start button.
Oh, yeah, I remember being so upset about that. There were literally normal person buttons that went unused.
Normal person buttons.
Yeah.
There's two buttons on a Nintendo controller, A and B. They both did the same thing. So you could have, press both of them or anything, but no, or select.
Select is
but
the one to use.
Instead of pause, they made the start button a special ability button. If for no other reason, that reason alone, it gave us all reason to say no New Game Plus status.
We're back into agreement here. Definitely not.
The first GBA game in this set of games that we played is called Shaman King Master of Spirits. Now, this is an anime and a game series that I'd never heard of. I was a GBA boy, but this one was... it's a surprise to me, and it's almost like a Castlevania game.
It's sort of Metroidvania-ish.
It's like an RPG slash Castlevania kind of thing, and honestly, not too shabby. Like, it had some pretty surprising stuff. I think the theme for maybe all of us that week was like, what is this game? And then we played it, and we were like, wow, okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, this is the one that the ensemble cast got dumped on your face in the first 15 seconds of gameplay, where like 42 different cast members that we apparently are supposed to know who they are
speak up
and give plot. But yeah, if it's for an anime that like exists outside, it makes sense. And it jumped you straight into a game that was surprisingly better than I thought it was going to be. A little bit more depth, fun exploration, fun content development as you unlocked different abilities, and it was really novel how they did all of that.
And the handling of those abilities, some of them being passive, some of them being the things that you need to use in the real world, some of them being your attacks, and then you can put them on, I don't remember what they called them, but like these various tracks or whatever that you could use this set and then a different set. You could cycle between them and have them. It was kind of a cool concept, but I just remember some of the Metroidvania concepts being lost when you had this overworld that you were traversing through, because you had this overworld map that you were traversing through rather than staying in the world, which is what Castlevania and Metroid tends to do. And it made it more laborious because you were doing so much backtracking through stages that you've already beaten. And so, and then there wasn't any kind of fast travel system in this game. So it just became tedious after a while.
I think they were trying to make it a little more RPG-ish and give you sort of this open overworld exploration thing, but it certainly made the game more grindy than it needed to be. But despite that, we all decided this one was a little gem that we weren't expecting and said, yeah, New Game Plus.
Yeah, and I don't know about a gem. I think we all ended with like, sure. You should probably.
Yeah, I want to go learn more about the series. You have to be really invested to care, but it's a solid little GBA title. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be a diamond or an emerald. There are other less known gems.
Hey, Kenny, nice words. The next game that we played is called Wordtress, and it was the first.
Nice words.
It was the. The worst jokes get Kenny the best.
I know. He loved that one.
He's tickled. All right. So this game began a long haul of bad games in New Game Plus that we had only once before, I believe, had four games in a row that we did not give New Game Plus status. Wortress begins a new one of those four.
And you can't go listen to the episode. It has been redacted by the president of Armenia. He censored us. He did not like us talking about him making the game, even though it's true.
Yeah. This is also the episode where, just at the beginning, I just thought about it, where Kenny had issues with the name Game Awards. That was a big deal.
Yeah. It's a terrible award name. Right.
But Wortress is a 1991 Game Boy video game. It also was released on the Super Nintendo, but we played the Game Boy game, and it's Tetris made word perfect.
That's such a joke.
Blasphemy.
Tetris made worst perfect.
Yikes. The fact that they thought they could put the word Tetris on there.
Hold on, Nolan. You suck, Kenny.
Yeah, that was terrible.
The fact that you think you can put Tetris on your box in any way.
It's disrespectful.
It's so disrespectful. Like, a word game like that is, and Kenny doing that first play is.
Oh, it's hot garbo.
This one's hot, at least.
Yeah,
warm garbage.
It's not cold.
I thought Kenny did fine, as fine as you could do, just dropping letter tiles trying to make words.
Well, it's just him trying
it's
to make it interesting.
It's just a nonsense game. I wanted it to be interesting or challenging or strategic. Like, the concept of word puzzles plus real-time Tetris, like, maybe could be good if you did it completely differently than this.
There's a hammer and sickle on the cover.
Yeah, and on top of all of that, it's just not, like, coded right. And so you get 1,000 consonants for every vowel, and so it just makes it exceedingly difficult. And for those of you that don't speak fluent English, you can't really spell many words with only consonants. So we said this is definitely a no, which means no New Game Plus status.
The next in our run of failed video games was a 1995 PlayStation title called Tactics Ogre. Let us cling together.
What a good title.
Yeah, the what they did with the title is what they did with this game, right? Tried really hard, shot for the stars, and totally missed. This was one of many isometric view games that we played that got Nolan on an I hate isometric view games kick.
In general.
Think turn-based strategy, sort of Fire Emblem style. It's a tactics game.
Final Fantasy Tactics, and that's the game that we're playing.
It's the exact game. It's the creator.
It is Final Fantasy Tactics in the way that it looks, in the way that it plays, in the story that is given. Like, it's all of those things except without the extra quality that is Final Fantasy. And here you've got all the same victory conditions for the most part, so it makes all the gameplay the same. The first three battles you don't even fight in because you can't get to the battle on time. It's just
weird slow pace early on as they try to like teach you the game and ramp you in. They don't. It's bad.
Just like, go play the game, and you're like, this is so confusing. I don't like this. And it doesn't ever get better. It's really
this
bad.
Game made Nolan want to go back and change his vote on Final Fantasy Tactics.
I do change my vote for Final Fantasy.
You can't.
I can't do that.
I'm a host on the show. I can literally go edit the thing.
It requires two-thirds of the votes to swing one way or the other.
We've got the evidence.
You already swung. So Nolan supposedly at this point started to hate isometric video games. Until we get to one later, in which is his favorite of all time. So, Tactics Ogre, we all said, no, don't. It's rough.
Continuing in the slums, we have Blackthorn, which is a, what is that stupid title? Cinematic platformer?
Yep.
Which, yeah, this is Blizzard, right?
Blizzard. Right.
On a console.
On a yep. console made a cinematic platformer called Blackthorn. The cover looks really metal. Guy with the shirt open, has a gun, long flowy hair. It's okay, this genre is just
yeah.
so wrong. It's
yeah.
it's wrong. And there's only one game that's done, and it's that one that you like, Dustin, that I didn't quite love. The alien one, Abe's Odyssey.
Abe's oh, yeah. Odyssey.
But they do it in a creative way, fun way. This is like trying to be dark and serious, and it ends up being so freaking boring and slow that you're like, am I playing a video game?
I think this is a pretty good cinematic platformer. I just don't think any of us like cinematic platformers because it's a terrible genre. It really is. It's just bad.
It's evolved over the years, thankfully, but it is, I mean, you know it's bad when your lead character's name is Kyle. And yeah. and you are you're walking around like Terminator. You have a shotgun. Kind of cool. You can also shoot behind you, and you have to dodge. Some of the mechanics are kind of cool. Just these cinematic platformers are so slow. And
molasses.
One of the problems here was that you're doing the same thing from the beginning to the end. It's rescuing people. It's opening doors and blowing up computers. That's the only thing you're doing.
That's the same with any cinematic platformer I've ever played. There might be some out there that you don't do that, but Oddworld, that flashback game. Flashback is this game. It's the same game. It's just with Blizzard quality and in a different universe. Like, it's insane. I do not like this genre.
And then our fourth and final game in this setup of bad games was Landstalker. It is a Genesis exclusive, which we hadn't had many of those, but we have had some. And it's another isometric video game, which when you do isometric, you have the ability to make a prettier game, I think. And this game was pretty. It looked good, but it was a wannabe Zelda. It was a Zelda knockoff, and isn't done with the same professionalism or love or expertise that Zelda games are done with.
Yes. And let me clear up the isometric thing. In a turn-based game, that's fine. I don't care about isometric view there. However, in an action adventure game where you have full control over your character and you want your character to feel responsive and quick, and that did not work here. You're locked into an isometric grid, and up does not go up. Left does not go left. Like, plus does not equal X. So, like, you're having to translate as you play, and it's a bad Zelda. It's not even close to Zelda. I don't even want to call it that.
But you do look like the main character, right,
no,
Nigel?
I'm on the thumbnail for the video. I don't look like him. Just like you don't look like Blackthorn.
All of our community members that week were making memes of Nolan's face on this Nigel character.
They weren't good.
It was wonderful.
Make them good at least.
it's not a game worth playing, and we said as much.
I definitely don't think this one was as bad as some of the other bad ones.
Of course you don't.
Like people, there's a lot of people that like this game and enjoy it. It's not as good as Zelda. I stick by the fact that we all said no, and I'm fine with that. I'm not trying to like change a vote. It sounds like we really, really ragged on it. I think this one just wasn't good enough, but it was all right.
It wasn't though. Find me two Landstalker fans and I'll kiss you on the mouth.
I'm good. I could find you, however, fans of the next game we played, because it has a rabid fan base that is active to this day.
Yeah,
which is hard to be said for a PC title that came out in 2002. But Roller Coaster Tycoon is deep in people's hearts, and it's there for a good reason. This at theme park sim that lets you also customize all of your rides and roller coasters is exactly that, an in-depth sim game that wasn't afraid to let you just go hard at the things that make a sim game fun. This one overwhelmed me first and still forever a little bit with some interface problems that took a little getting used to. But once you know the hotkeys, ton of possibilities for what you can do here, and quite a fun game.
This is one that I'm surprised that you, Kenny, ended up giving it your vote for New Game Plus status, because after watching your failed first play this week, I was confident that you were going to not.
Oh, I failed at that first place harder than any other first play ever, including the Marvel game. And like, for me to say that is something, yeah, because I'm notoriously bad at first plays. And this one was rough, but it really is just UI stuff. And yep, once I got over the fact that I could learn the game other ways instead of the bad tutorial, like, there's a ton of stuff to do, and it really is great. But old PC, and you're going to have to learn to navigate it if you don't have the, you know, if you didn't play it back then and have like muscle memory of how to interact with this game.
I'm not good at these games. I've learned.
But you liked it enough to give it your vote.
Oh, I liked it for sure. It's like, it's one of those that's like, you got to respect it. And yeah, I did enjoy it. It's just, I'm not good.
There's just so much customization here, and there's so many layers to it, and it is a slower paced, like, grind, like, get in. It's a different kind of game, you know? It's, yeah, it's a different kind of video game. But if you do, the payoff's there, because there's so much at the palms of your hands.
And finally, we come to our most recent game that we have played on the podcast, and it is called Mega Man Battle Network 2. This was a Patreon poll. Garlisle and others submitted. I say Garlisle, though, because Garlisle, this is one of his favorite games ever. And I get it. This was really close to me, too. I love this game. I played it so much. And so I was really excited to, like, have the guys play it. So watching Dustin do the first play was... So I wanted to, as soon as I watched it, I messaged him. I was like, can you please play the rest of the game? Because it's so unique and fun and good.
Yeah, but hey, Kenny, why does Nolan like it? Because it's isometric and it's kind of action-adventure-y.
It's true. He backpedaled on everything that he's ever said about any video game ever.
It's not isometric.
He proved that he likes kids' games.
It's not.
He proved that he likes isometric games.
He said it's not.
That he likes,
but in that game, up means up.
He proved Does that he liked real time strategy as a genre.
He's just still going to talk. He's not going to talk to us. He's just going to do his own thing.
No, yeah, I'm gonna list things that Nolan was wrong about, even while he liked this game more than either of us. Nolan, you said this is one of your favorite video games.
Yes,
like ever.
Top 10. Yeah, it's. It's great. It's for GBA. I don't think I said that. And it's one of those Mega Man spinoff series like Legends. But they just pull it off. It's very unique, very creative, and there's so much replayability, and there shouldn't be.
It would have been super easy to fail at this battle system.
Yeah.
The whole grid-based thing.
Yeah, it's complex.
But they absolutely nailed it. They found a sweet spot of like strategy and versatility and options and different styles of play and letting you kind of customize and a really, really good game.
It's one of the few, again, that I played after we recorded our episode. So I even have that walkthrough still up. And I hope to play more of it, but I have moved on to our next game of the week, which is Final Fantasy IV Advance, which we're not talking about because we haven't released that yet. But that will be in our next retro recap, which we've got some cool things planned for that. Not going to give anything away yet, but we even talked pre-episode today. We might try some new things that we've never done on the podcast before. So
hey, stay tuned.
Stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned.
Now, at the end of every retro recap, I've got two questions for you guys as well as for myself. They are, what one game would you encourage people to go back and play? And what one episode would you encourage people to go back and listen to? So we'll start with the first one. What one game would you encourage people to go back and play from this list of 22 games?
I mean, it's impossible for me, but I have my answer. There are two Zelda games in this set. Never happened before on the show.
You don't have to pick them.
Huh?
You don't have to pick them.
Oh, yeah. I can pick both of them. Unless you didn't say I could.
No.
Pick two. No, I absolutely must tell you that if you have never played the game, Ocarina of Time You must play it. It's a must play. Like, unanimously, across all genres, it's a classic. You have to. It's so good. So that's my answer.
Not as good as Wind Waker. All right, Kenny.
Stop.
I'm going to assume that everybody has played Ocarina of Time. They may not have. But I'm gonna give it as a given, at least for our audience, and say that if you haven't played Mega Man Battle Network 2,
hey,
what you need to go
Let's
back and play.
Go.
Yeah, it's just it really is a good game. I don't know what it is. The tone is fun. It's Digimon, but like not annoyingly so. And it'll make you roll your eyes, but in a good Mega Man universe, you know, kind of unique gameplay way. There were some nostalgia bombs here that I would have loved to have shouted out, but this one kind of took me.
I'm proud of you. You want
to
know,
this is the one that I'm going to say, the one game that you should go back and play is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, The Manhattan Project. And you should play it with a friend, couch co-op, because... I've already said it's a great game in its own right. When you're able to play beside a buddy, a pal, an amigo, it just takes the fun level up to a whole nother level. Kenny truly picked a really good game. And here's the thing that I was amazed at that week is that this is one of the best and best looking and best experienced NES games that we've played and that I think is on the system. And I don't think that it makes many lists of NES bests. I think it's one of those that is probably slept on a little bit. And it's just really good, which, you know what, shouldn't surprise us because those Ninja Turtle video games, by and large, are pretty good, aren't they? Like the arcade one, Turtles in Time. There's some really good Turtle titles out there, and this is one of them.
Yeah.
The second question was, what one episode would you encourage people to go back and listen to? We'll go in the same order. So starting with you, Nolan.
Okay. So this might sound a little weird, but not every episode has to be good. not every episode needs to be about a great game, and we don't have to agree. So I'm going to recommend that you go listen to the Arrow the Acrobat episode. Not because the game is good, but because it's fun to poop on a game every once in a while, and poop we did. So that's the recommendation I have for you.
All right, Kenny?
I'm going to say that people should go back and listen to Katamari Damacy. I didn't like it, but the fact that we didn't and the fact that it's such a unique game, I feel like made it fun to talk about, a little bit controversial. It was unique and different, and like both disagreeing and just having a game that was unlike any other game we've ever played. Truly one of the most unique games, quote unquote, because it isn't, that we've played on the show. So yeah, listen to that one.
I wrote down to go and listen to episode 252, The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, with our guest MC Moffitt. And I'll stick with that because I loved the game and that came through in that episode. But also guest episodes with such knowledgeable guests that are very good conversationalists, that have the excitement and the enthusiasm. We have had many of them. MC Moffitt was one of the standouts, and talking about this game that kind of just blew my mind, that Nolan had a lot of already affection towards. And Kenny thought the guy's eyes were too big, but not MC Moffitt, but Lynx.
I was like, don't put me on blast. He's a fine looking.
But I believed that Kenny respected the game for what it was as well. And it just made for a really, really enjoyable episode.
What did you almost say? You were about to change your mind.
Well, no, that's the one that I had down, but I was looking through like... there's not any like standout moments in that episode. And then I'm just going back and trying to think through some of the other ones. And I mean, Wordtress was most certainly
so silly.
An interesting episode because we had to fill an entire podcast talking about letters falling down Tetris style. And we were all mad at the developers until we found out that, you know, the president is the creator.
Right,
so
respect.
That would be another one. But also, since you asked, WCW Mayhem, three boys talking about wrestling and knowing nothing about it is hilarious.
That is hilarious. It's Discord time.
Try that again. Do you want to try that again? No, you can try it again.
No. We have a Discord server, and we want you to be a part of it. Our community is excellent. Seriously, we talk about it a lot, but it's true. I've never been a part of a gaming community online this quality and kind and helpful and fun. So be sure you get in on that by going to ngppodcast.com and clicking join us in Discord.
Yeah. Some of the people that make that community so awesome are people who go above and beyond to support us, not just by hanging out in Discord, which we love, but by hitting up patreon.com and helping contribute to what we do on a monthly basis. And those include our absolutely amazing director level supporters, Antonin, who we'll hear from soon, and Garlisle, as well as our amazing producer level supporters, Amarlian, Austin, Ben, Brojim, Carrie, David, Francesca, Corey, Maxima, Mr. Lattes, Shauna, William, and Zion. You guys truly, truly mean so much to us. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you. You can find us on our social media links. That's Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Those links are in our show notes. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you're the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This long episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we stop the recap and we talk about the Retro Game of the Week, Final Fantasy IV Advance, with our friend Antonin. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
Nolan.
And this has been Retro Recap number 10 from New Game Plus.
Fellas, I heard you got a podcast out called New Game Plus. Love that. Keep going, baby. Keep going. Maybe we'll see if you can join Avalanche.